Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 5. This is a difficult passage. I have lost people out of the church when I have preached it in the past. It's been a few years, but I hope that's not going to be the case today. But, you know, it's in our Bibles. And I'm going to do my best to explain it. Galatians chapter 5, and the sermon title is The Withdrawing Savior. Now, the danger with this kind of a passage and this kind of a sermon is that people show up on a Sunday morning and they haven't been attending regularly and they don't understand the context of what's been going on, and they think I'm saying something that I'm not. And they get offended and they leave. You know, and that's the way it goes. I'm not going to fix that. Paul is very clear on the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, very clear. The life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Doesn't matter what Peter does. Paul is going to do this, the I section. And all of the apostles understood that no man is ever justified by works of the law. All the apostles are in agreement of that. Peter sinned. He was rebuked in front of all because he should be rebuked. What he did was wrong. He did it out of fear. So, I mean, this is the context of Galatians. Now, I wrote you an article and sent it out about the Celts. You know, we talked a little bit about it last hour. They were a pagan bunch with a capital P. The Druids were their priests and priestesses. They did sacrifices. They were a warring warlord tribe. And whoever paid them the most money, they would go to war for them. I mean, they were just a godless bunch. Those are the Galatian inhabitants of that section of Rome. Rome didn't do a very good job of managing Galatia because they were such a wild bunch that were there. But Paul went there and preached the gospel, and they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in short order, they had churches planted and people walking by the Spirit, glorious conversions, life in the Spirit, God doing wonders and miracles among them by the Spirit. And the Judaizers came along and convinced them that they were inadequate in their understanding of Scripture, that it wasn't enough to have faith alone in Christ alone. It wasn't enough to walk by the power of the Spirit. They needed to also be circumcised, which represented the entire adherence to the law. So this letter is written to try and stop false teachers. And he is telling the believers that they are absolutely not a part of the slave woman's heritage like these Judaizers are, but rather they are children of the free woman, the woman of promise, Sarah. So he's just finished that, verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. That's our heritage. We have freedom in Christ. Why in the world then do they want to go back under the law? So in verse 1, he argues that they should stick with grace and never swap grace for rules, regulations, and the Mosaic law. Therefore, in the liberty with the article, in the freedom by which Christ has freed us, and it's an imperative, be standing, a present imperative, standing, and don't ensnare yourselves. It's a middle imperative here. Don't ensnare yourself, present middle. Do not be going back, command. Do not be going back again into a yoke of slavery. Now, what kind of slavery did they have before? Well, they had the basic elements of this world. He's already talked about the rudimentary aspects of the Celtic world. But here he's saying, don't go under the rules and regulation of the Mosaic Law. Stick with grace. Okay. Who is declared righteous? The publican, the sinner, who won't even look up towards the temple, and he beats his chest and he looks down at the ground and he says, man, I am a dirty, rotten sinner. Be propitious. Provide propitiation for me. Or the Pharisee who stands there and says, man, I'm great. I am so thankful that I'm not like that dirty, rotten scoundrel, the publican. Who goes home justified? The publican. So what it takes to be declared righteous is the recognition that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. That's it. But now watch what happens with sanctification. Every stinking system out there immediately swaps, oh God, be merciful to me, to you need to be like a Pharisee and keep these rules and regulations. You need to be a better person. In order to have your share in God's life and work, you need to be like the Pharisees. We swap that back and forth. And Paul is sitting here saying, how in the world can you go to this when I came to you and I abandoned the law that I was reared in so that I could become like you, lawless Celtics, and now you try to become like I was, a Pharisee, a law keeper? He says, stick with grace. And the problem is we don't really believe this. Every time we turn around, there is another list of things that you should have done, that you didn't do, that you need to do to be in good standing with God, who is your Savior. It's as if somehow there's a change in God who loves the publican, who loves the sinner. And now that you've come to understand the grace of God and place your faith in Jesus as your Savior, now you have to become like the Pharisee because God doesn't accept you until you've cleaned up your act and you follow rules and regulations. Do you see the inconsistency of that? Scripture says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, then what? Walk in Him just like that. What do I bring to the table to receive a declaration of righteousness? What do I bring to the table to receive imputed righteousness, to be declared righteous? And the answer is nothing. Faith. That's it. Jesus is my Savior. I have no hope. So that if God were to say to me when I stand before Him, Epha, why should I let you into my kingdom? Why should I let you into heaven? I say to Him, Heavenly Father, I have no hope but Jesus. I have no other option. And if God says to me, that's not enough, then I'll have to spend eternity in hell because that is my only hope for my entrance into God's eternal presence. It is the finished work of Christ. But then in the Judaizer world in which we live, we swap Pharisaism for walking by the Spirit. Do you want to know why the early church did such incredible things? It's because they walked by the Spirit. Do you want to know why churches today are not seeing the Lord's blessing? It's because they're living by works. And the Spirit simply withdraws. Christ steps back and says, you got this? Good. You don't need me. And we go through week after week, year after year, and as a church, decade after decade, not abiding in Christ, not walking by faith. And we do nothing. Because Christ said, without me, what? You can do nothing. So my first point on verse 1 is stick with grace. And the reason you have to stick with grace is because Jesus won't help you keep the rules. Look at this next passage, verse 2 of chapter 5. This is also an imperative. Look, see. This would be where Khrushchev, who taught you and pounded the table. Remember that? Only two of us do. This is, listen to me. Paul takes off his sandal and he whacks the table. I, Paul, am speaking to you. So Paul, the Pharisee, who was converted under great duress, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, who was converted under great duress. Paul, the apostle, says, I'm telling you, listen to me. If you should be circumcised, Christ will be of no help to you. Now, this is where I've lost people out of the church. They say, oh, pastor, I don't like what you're telling me. I don't like that. Well, I'm speaking on behalf of the Apostle Paul, who is telling you that if you decide to move back under bondage into rules and regulations, and we've had them from this church, leave and start putting towels over their heads because they think God will hear them. They get sucked in to messianic Christianity, which is a violation of Ephesians. Gentiles pretending to be Jews. The whole thing is wrong. But they get sucked into it. Why? It's external. It's objective. It's works-based. You do this and you're all right. It's no different than Islam. Bow down, hit those prayer mats 3 times a day, face east. It doesn't matter which way is east. I don't know. I caught a guy in Home Depot parking lot. He was facing west. I think he was lost. I thought he lost. I go there, and there he is doing his evening prayers. He's a good Muslim. External, objective, arbitrary, because somebody else makes the rules. But you walk by the Spirit. It's internal, subjective, following His leadership where God wants you to go and doing what God wants you to do. If you should be circumcised, which is the initiatory rite into becoming a proselyte, if you go that route, then Christ will withdraw from you. Now you say, wait a minute, I thought you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is true. I thought you said, when you believe in Christ, you have everlasting life. That is true. When you believe in Jesus, you will never, ever, ever lose that gift of everlasting life. But you will lose the presence and power of Christ in your life because you are quenching His Spirit. You're grieving His Spirit. And He will withdraw from you until you come to your senses, pulling this load of rules and regulations without the power of the Spirit, and you come to exhaustion and anger and swearing that I have to go to church again, and you will come to realize it's bankrupt. In some place, you've left Christ by the side of the road and kept right on trucking. You know, that's the Ephesian church in Revelation. They were a vibrant, thriving church. Elders, deacons. Titus, Timothy was the pastor there. But they had left their first love. So he says, remember, return, repent, change your mind, go back, start fresh again. So if you go down this path of rules and regulations, then Christ will not help you. Christ will be of no help to you. And probably this is a present middle verb here. If you are circumcising yourself, indicating that they are involving by voluntary choice themselves in this ongoing process of being immersed in the Mosaic Law. Verse 3. Now I'm solemnly testifying. This first, second point is actually verses 2 through 4. Now I am solemnly testifying again to all men, having been circumcised, being circumcised, that he is an indebted person, an obligated person, to have done the whole law. This is the amazing thing about the law. If you go under that system, it requires that you had already obeyed all the commandments. So what does that mean? Everybody under the law has already been condemned, because no one can go back under the law except for Christ, and he brought the end of the law. Every one of us has broken it. So he's solemnly testifying. So these are very strong words. I'm speaking to you. Listen to me. Now I'm testifying solemnly to you. You are obligated to have kept the whole law. Verse 4. You have been removed from being under or being connected to the Messiah. So this is possible for Christians to be carnal. You can refuse to follow the Lord's leadership in your life. You can remove yourself from under the Messiah, from under the Christ. You have been removed from being connected to the Messiah, the ones who are justing themselves, making themselves righteous. You want to do this and make yourself righteous, as opposed to receive imputed righteousness by faith alone in the resurrected Christ? Then you have removed yourself from the Messiah, because he only works with people who are with him and through him and under him by faith alone. Making themselves righteous, you have fallen. You've lost your part of grace, he says. You see that in verse 4, where he says, you have fallen from grace. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you have stopped living under the rule of grace. And grace and law are in opposite ends of the spectrum. You either walk by the Spirit or you walk by the works. You cannot do both. So his point here is that Jesus won't help you keep rules, regulations, or the Mosaic Law. Stick with grace, because if you don't, Christ withdraws his power and his presence from you. How many of you know what it's like to go through the Christian life where you have periods of no fellowship with Christ? Okay, well, a few honest people. Yeah. Let me see your hands again. Whose fault is it, Pete? Is it that Christ moved?
No.
No. It's not Jesus who withdrew, it's you. The way this reads, though, it's Christ who says, look, you got this? You think you can do this on your own? You think you can do that which is pleasing to God? You just need a bunch of rules, a bunch of promises to keep? You're going to be good with resolutions? Fine, have at it. And he steps back. And what's the universal experience? Anger, failure, bitterness, and most importantly, hypocrisy among the clergy. Okay? Now, if I ask this of a bunch of pastors in Ukraine, not one of them would raise their hands. You know why? Because they have a very high platform. They teach that they have achieved sanctification. And the rest of you schlubs need to catch up with them. They don't have the doctrine of indwelling sin. They still don't. I went there and taught it. They didn't believe me. Okay? So what happens is hypocrisy. You redefine. Well, I haven't murdered anybody, so I'm all right. Yeah. Well, what about hatred? Oh, no, I don't hate anybody. I had a golf coach in Phoenix Christian. Mr. Tubbs was his name. He taught science and he taught golf. He was a terrible golfer. Terrible golfer. On the first tee, he hadn't made it to the hole, first hole yet. My cousin and I are standing on the back of the green. Behind us is the fairway for the second hole. And then beyond that's a fence. And beyond that is a street, Maryland Avenue. And beyond that's apartment buildings. We're standing, my cousin and I, and he needs to chip it onto the green, okay? All of us kids, we're up on two. It's par four. He's already four before he gets to the green. And now he has a little chip. And he lines himself up and he swings at this thing. And it was still going up when it passed my cousin and I. It went over the second fairway. It went over the fence. It went over the road. It landed in the apartment complex. You know, and we're sitting there. Everything we can do not to just fall over laughing. He really believed that he had never sinned in 34 years. That's what he believed. That he had not sinned in 34 years. Do you think my cousin and I believed that? No, we didn't believe it. Do you know why? His daughter was our classmate. Uh-huh. She's got the real information on him. But you see how that plays into hypocrisy. So if you go down a works-based system, you don't sound like the Apostle Paul, who says, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You don't sound like the apostle when you go down a work system. But our apostle, our leader, he hasn't any problem saying, man, I am the chief of sinners. And the only thing that is ever good through me and in me is the work of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus won't help you if you go down this rule regulation path. And furthermore, if you go down that path, you will lose your inheritance. Inheritance is reward. Christ does not reward works done without his Spirit. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. For we, emphatic, in spirit, it's in the category of spirit versus flesh. So for we, in spirit, out of faith. Out of faith versus works, rules, regulations. Eagerly wait for the hope, a hope of righteousness. This is the final separation from us and our connection with Adam. It's the confirmation of the declaration that comes when we believe in Christ. We have the expectation and the certainty of the future where we will finally be confirmed in absolute righteousness and never will struggle with sin again. Amen? Now we struggle. No pink cloud. And we eagerly await that. I no longer have a dog, and I'm glad, although I miss a dog, especially after the grandchildren come, because now I have to sweep the floor, and there's food everywhere. And we had a dog, so I don't worry about it. The dog will be free. The picture that's used here is of a dog straining at the leash. Sarah trained our last dog, and the dog was hilariously in love with Sarah. I put up with it. It put up with me. But when it saw her, he would strain at the leash, pulling, and you'd hear, wanting to be embraced by her love and her attention. That's the picture he has here of us, for we in the spirit and in faith eagerly await when we will finally be free from the burden of sin. But you can't beat it. You can't beat that indwelling sin through trying to keep rules and regulations. It's only by walking in the spirit. For in Christ Jesus, not, emphatic, not is of any use, value, strength, or ability, circumcision. You can't go through an act like an event and have that solve the problem with indwelling sin. In Christ Jesus, circumcision is useless. It's not of any use, nor uncircumcision, whether you do this or whether you do that, whether you're baptized or whether you're not baptized, whether you join the church, you don't join the church, whether you give your money, whether you don't give your money, whether you sing in the choir, if we had one, or you don't sing in the choir. What am I missing? Evangelize or don't evangelize. None of these acts benefit you. In Christ Jesus, none of this makes any difference. There's only one rule, if you want a rule, for all of us, and that's faith alone in Christ alone. But faith, this concept of faith, and he says this faith is working effectively of itself. So the more you believe, the easier it is to walk by faith. And so it's this dynamic, growing, accepting of truth that God is who He is and the Spirit is who He is. And it's working effectively through love. So this guiding concept of the Spirit helping us love by faith is the overarching aspect that is rewarded. So our future hope, that's why I'm throwing this, it's a future tense, the hope of righteousness. We're eagerly waiting for that, and that's through faith in Christ alone. All right, so when I talk about this subject, I hope today you've understood that being declared righteous is faith alone in Christ alone, everlasting life is a free gift, right? And having received the indwelling Spirit by faith, God now wants you to walk by faith and by the power of the Spirit, and not swap rules, regulations, and the Mosaic law for that. Don't let anybody take you down that road, because if you do, then you're abandoning the liberty that the Apostle Paul, through his gospel, has given to us. And the Savior just withdraws. Father, we ask that you would help us to make sure to keep our